All right, everybody, we'll go ahead and get started. So in this session, sometimes I have to explain what I'm talking about, but with this one, the name on the tin is pretty obvious. If you get what's on the tin, you're going to understand what's about to happen here in the next hour. I'm going to spend about 10 minutes on slides, then I'm going to switch into Management Studio. I just don't want you to freak out and think I'm going to do slides the whole entire time. I just want to walk you through a process first. I'm Brent. I'm Brent Ozar, Microsoft Certified Master, which means I tend to get called into a lot of fires where people will throw a query at me and I don't have much time in order to troubleshoot it. I very quickly have to figure out what's going on and make this thing go faster. Everything that I'm going to show you today, the databases, the scripts, the process, all of it is already up on the site there at brentozar.com/go/tunequeries. So anything that I'm going to show up on the screen, it's already there. You don't have to take notes as we go. The demo script even has me typing out my frame of mind as I'm thinking through a query. I actually take about half a dozen queries from stackoverflow.com and I tune them. I actually write notes as I'm tuning them so that you can get a feel for what it's like being inside my crazy head. When I had to go start teaching people how I tune queries, that forced me to come up with a methodology. It's hard to call anything that I do a methodology. I just herp-a-derp around a lot on the keyboard. But I had to have some kind of method that I told you, this is what I think through. I don't do all these things every time I tune queries. For example, I'm going to skip some of these steps today on my SQL Server because I already know the shape that it's in. But when I walk up to one of your disgusting foul SQL servers that smells like burnt hair, I start at the top of this and I work my way down. And I had to come up with a name for it, and the initials just worked out as Be Creepy, which is kind of awesome because I love really creepy art. I have a disturbing art collection that I used to hang behind my desk and people who were working with me could see on my webcam until a couple of my clients said, you should probably take that down because it's creeping us out as we look at your art. The first thing that I go do when I have to go tackle a query that someone's giving me is I'm gonna go run SP Blitz on their server. Sometimes the reason that the query's running slow is that somebody really messed up a configuration setting on the server. The classic example is someone setting max memory way too low. Like we had a client with a server with 512 gigs of RAM, but someone had set max memory at 51 gigs of RAM because they'd accidentally left out a zero. I looked like a hero that day and then could take the rest of the day off drinking. Second thing that I'll go do is look at SP Blitz index because sometimes there's a horribly missing index on that SQL server or there's a heap that's heavily been deleted a lot of records out of, has a lot of empty space. Today, I'm going to skip those two steps. I'm going to assume that my SQL Server is already fairly healthy. I'm going to be working with a SQL Server 2016 box that I know and love. The second thing that I'm going to go do when someone brings me an ugly query is I want to get their requirements. In a perfect world, that would mean me asking them, how fast do you want this query to go? But users don't understand how to answer that question. Users say things like, as fast as you can make it go, really quick, super fast. So I have to ask it differently. I have to say, how much time would you like me to spend working on this query? And I usually say it as either 1 hour, 1 day, or 1 week. I have a friend of mine. He has a really interesting job. He spends his whole job working on 10 queries, and that's it. he has to make those 10 queries as quickly as possible. He works for a hedge fund, a financial trading company, and every millisecond that he can slice off of those queries, that pays for his salary because they make more money trading. He knows those 10 queries by heart. He knows their execution plans. He knows what kinds of reads that they do. So every time there's a new service pack or cumulative update, he tests them, see what trace flags will do differently on the different queries. That guy can spend a whole week on a query. The rest of us, not quite as much. Usually, I only either get 1 day or 1 hour to make a query go faster. I'm also going to ask him, what are you doing with this data? Where do you want this data to come from, and what are you going to do with it? Because sometimes they want sales by quarter or sales by product, and they're using it for a report, and it doesn't have to be up to the minute. And I might be able to run that on a reporting server instead of against the production box. Maybe I have that data already gathered in a different format. They just don't know about it yet. At this point, I'm going to let them go. I'm not going to fire them. I'm just going to say, you're on to whatever other task you want to do. And I'm going to go start working on this query myself. The C in the Be Creepy process stands for capturing my query metrics. At home, when I'm doing this, I have a couple of big old monitors, and I'll run the query in one monitor and then have another query where I'm working on its new execution plan. You won't see me do that here today. I'll show you the original execution plan, then we'll quickly go move on to new versions of it. But I want to keep its original execution plan and the number of reads that it's doing, because this is going to be my success metric, how I know whether things are getting better or worse. Then I'm going to go through and read the metrics and the query plan and just say, does this thing doing something unusual or something strange? Generally with a query, I'm either tuning something that takes a lot of time or something that's reading a lot of data. Either I'm tuning for CPU time or I'm tuning for how much data I'm reading. You'll see me in this first query that we go hit, the query's reading a boatload of data, but there are other examples of queries that are doing string shredding or XML or JSON that if you go to that link that we showed earlier where I show how to tune high CPU queries instead. Then I'm going to go experiment with the query cost. People will often bring me queries that were really easy to write, but they don't necessarily perform that well. The great example is order by. I'm going to comment out the order by in a query and see what kind of difference that makes. For those of you who've watched my free How to Think Like the Engine class online, I show you how just taking out an order by can make a query go 20x faster, in which case I can push back to the end users and say, can we sort this in the development or in the app tier instead of on the SQL Server tier? Because SQL Server, I love it dearly, but it's really expensive. An enterprise edition, $7,000 US per core. I can buy a lot of application servers for $7,000 US. And I'm not saying that I'm just going to go punt it to the developers. I'm going to go take the developers with me. We'll go to the sysadmins and get you more power for your app servers and your VMs. Same thing if I look at the list of fields that are in the select. Sometimes I'll have 50 or 100 fields in the select statement. People will do a select star just because it's easy. I'm going to comment out all of the fields in the select and just replace them with the number 1 or a string like, hi, mom. Then I'm going to see how fast the query goes. Often, SQL Server will use totally different indexes because it has indexes available that have a lot of the fields, just not the entire huge list that end users were selecting. if the query suddenly goes 20x or 100x faster when I start doing a select one, then I'm going to go back to the developers and say, I need you to just select one. Of course, that doesn't work. No developer's ever going to take me seriously. But I go back and say, look, if I don't get any data out, it suddenly goes 20x faster. Can you do me a favor and give me the full list of fields that you actually need? If you need all the fields, I will tune it to go fast with all the fields. Just know that the more fields you add, the crappier the indexes may be. And it may take this thing longer to do inserts, updates, and deletes against those same tables. Next, I'm going to look at the execution plan. You're going to see me work from the top right operator down. The top right operator is the thing that we call the driver table, the thing that drives most of the cost of the execution plan. I'm going to compare SQL Server's estimated versus actual numbers. Generally speaking, when SQL Server makes good guesses about how many rows will come back, it builds good execution plans. And generally, when it makes bad guesses, when it says, only one row's going to come back, boss, and then 5 million rows come back, that's where the heartache starts. If I can get SQL Server to make accurate estimates about how many rows will come back, generally, I'm going to get better execution plans. You're going to see me make a series of changes through a query to see if I can get those estimates be more accurate as we work through it. One of the later steps in there is parallelism. Maybe there's something inside my query that causes that query to go single-threaded instead of multi-threaded. For example, if you've got a scalar UDF in your query or a multi-statement table-valued function, that can cause the whole query to go single-threaded or parts of the query. But rewriting it to take that out usually sucks. And I want to make as few changes as possible in order to make the query go quick. I'm not the DBA who says, you should go rewrite this. Throw it up in a corner. You should be ashamed of the query you wrote. I write horrible queries, too. Nasty, awful queries. Just before I left to come here, I wrote a query against a table with 4,000 rows, and the query takes over 15 minutes to run. I then handed it to Eric Darling and said, later, please tune that for me. One of the beautiful parts of having employees. So it's amazing that any of them still work for me at all. So if the query only goes single-threaded, if it only uses one core, I might be able to rewrite it so that it uses 4 cores or 8 cores. But generally, that's a really big change. And users don't want the query to go 4x or 8x faster. They want the query to go 100x faster or 1,000x faster. So this alone isn't going to get me there. So I generally leave it towards later. And then the last thing that I'll do is go throw indexes into the database. Because generally, I want to change my query to match the database. I don't want to change the database to match my query. If you're just getting started query tuning on a database and it has no indexes at all, sure, go add a few in. But once you've got a mature database and it's got 5 or 6 indexes per table, it's not like we can suddenly throw in every index that we want to make every query go fast. We have to work a little harder in order to make these things go quick. So that's the be creepy process. Now I'm actually going to do it. So for those of you who came in late, everything that I'm about to show you is at brentozar.com/go/tunequeries, including how to get the Stack Overflow database that I'm about to use. So let's go see how it works. I am running on my box SQL Server 2016, and I'm using Management Studio 2017, so it may look a little different than what you're used to. everything I'm going to show you, for the most part, works all the way back to 2008, but I'll try to call out the stuff that's newer in newer versions. Now, I've got the Stack Overflow database on here. This is the public data dump. And when you go to tune queries, you might be tempted to go write your own crappy queries. Like when I want to learn, it's not a lot of fun to write my own crappy queries against Stack Overflow because I know why my crappy queries are crappy. I want to find someone else's queries to go tune. And there's a whole website dedicated just to that. If I go to data.stackexchange.com, you don't have to write this down, this is at the site as well. Data.stackexchange.com is where we look at you taking pictures. What did I just say? Oh, you want a picture of me because I'm so good looking, right? It's my moment of to shine here. So anybody can go and write queries against the Stack Overflow database. Stack Overflow is very competitive. People want to get the highest reputation. They want to know which tags they should answer questions on. They want to know how they are compared to everyone else. So you can scroll through here and see all kinds of interesting database queries. I'm going to take the fourth one down on this list, the most controversial posts on the site. Because I'm American, we like controversy, right? So this query was written by Sam Saffron, one of the original developers over at Stack Overflow. And as Stack Overflow was growing, Sam said, I want to go find the posts on Stack Overflow where a lot of people upvote the post and a lot of people downvote the post. And here's the query that he wrote to do it. And data.stackexchange.com, it actually has a Management Studio interface right here on the website. So you can take that query, click Run Query, and you can see exactly the results that come out. You can even include the execution plan if you want to go through and run it. And it'll show you the execution plan right here in your web browser. I'm going to pretend that Sam, the original developer for this, has come to me and said, this query is slow. I need you to tune it. And I can see that it is slow. It's taking a while to run. I'm not going to tune it here in the web browser, though, because at data.stackexchange, you're allowed to run queries. You're even allowed to create temp tables, but you're not allowed to create indexes inside that database. This is running against a real SQL Server 2016 box on their back end in their Oregon data centers. I'm going to take Sam's exact query, and I'm going to go take it into my own SQL Server Management Studio over here. Here's Sam's exact query. So I'm going to pretend like I asked Sam, hey, Sam, how much time do I have in order to tune this query? And Sam says, you've got about 45 minutes. Go. The first thing that I want to do with Sam's query is I want to run it, and I want to get the actual execution plan. I'm going to turn on an option here in Management Studio called Stats.io on. This is going to tell me for every table that I touch how many logical reads I did against that table. More on that in a second. I'm also going to click Query, Include Actual Execution Plan, and then I'm going to go highlight all of Sam's query, and I'm going to execute it. Now, I'm not even concerned yet with what Sam's query is doing. I just want to make sure that my query runs and takes a while, because I don't want to have the scenario where Sam says, this query takes like 15 minutes to run, but when I execute it, it happens immediately. That's a different problem that I'll actually cover in my session tomorrow called parameter sniffing, where a query is sometimes fast and sometimes slow. In this example, clearly, I do have a problem. This thing has taken over 30 seconds so far, so I think I've got the query that actually sucks, and I think I have a bad plan for it, or just a crappy plan. It's really tempting to say, I can't wait long enough for this to finish. I'd rather look at the estimated plan. So let's give that a shot. Instead of waiting for this query to finish, I'm just going to say query display estimated execution plan. And here's the estimated execution plan that I get. Now, this query has two parts. In the first part, Sam is dumping a bunch of data into a table variable. And in the second part, he's querying the data back out of that table variable. When you look at these two queries, the top one and the bottom, think for a second about which one you want to focus on tuning. Do you want to focus on tuning the top one or the second one? How many of you would like to focus on tuning the top one? How many of you would like to focus on tuning the bottom one? So the ones of you who, how many of you just don't want to do any tuning at all?
Yeah, that's what I come to a conference for, so I can avoid this kind of hard work.
I bet for a lot of you who, as you were looking at these queries, you go, I want to focus on the top one because it's 100% of the query. The thing is, that's the estimate, not the actual. And if the estimate was right, we might not even be here to begin with. Let's take a little bit deeper look. I'm going to hover my mouse over that insert, the top number one query. And you'll notice that it says estimated subtree cost. Estimated subtree cost, back in the late 1990s when this was originally modeled, it meant the number of seconds that it would take for this query to execute on one machine in Building 35 on the Microsoft campus. It's totally disconnected to time today. Today, it's just about the amount of CPU and I/O work required in order to run this query. We like to call this query bucks. This query costs, the first one cost, 941 query bucks. And the bottom one cost, I'm going to move around to show it to you here. I am going to move it. There you go. The bottom one cost about 2 query cents. So SQL Server is saying, between these two queries, man, really, you should totally focus on tuning the top one. It costs a whole lot of query bucks. Not so fast, SQL Server. Let's look over at another window where I'm like a chef on TV, and I've already run this query. And I can see why Sam was complaining. 19 minutes and 33 seconds. Now, it's not because I have a crappy laptop. It's got 16 gigs of RAM. The database is 100 gigs in size. This is just not executing very well. So it took 19 minutes in order to run. And if I look at this actual execution plan, this is the actual plan, not the estimated. Those percentage numbers still show 100% on the top query, but that percentage is still based off the estimates, even when you're looking at an actual plan. Those percentages are useless. Let me show you why. If I look a little bit deeper in this, if I look over at the Messages tab, this is what I turned on when I said set statistics IO on. This shows me for every table that I touched, the number of reads that I did. Logical reads equals reading one 8K page. Now, long ago, when I was your age and young and hopeful and naive, I would add all of these up with a calculator. There's a much easier way to do this. What you do is highlight all of it, right-click and copy. Then you go open monster.com and look for a better job. I'm kidding. You go to statisticsparser.com. I'll show that URL up again in a second. Paste that in here, and now you get a nice little Excel-style grid that shows you which tables were being used in that query. It'll also sum up CPU time for you. This is statisticsparser.com. How many of us in here are developers? So how many of you have written something while you've been at this conference? A lot less hands go up. So I was actually doing this like 5 years ago. I was tuning a query in front of a group of developers, and the guy saw me using a calculator. Guy was sitting in the back row, saw me using a calculator to add up all the logical reads. And he goes, "That's stupid. I could build a website to do that." And the very next morning, he came to me and said, "Check this out. I did all that in JavaScript, so all you have to do is paste the number in." He got a job with us. You people, not so much. Not until you start doing some work while you're at a conference, especially if that work makes my life easier. I'm all about that. So I've got this now. This is one of the metrics that I like a lot in order to see how hard the SQL server's working. This query did 15 million page reads in order to execute. And what table did it do all those reads from? Now, knowing where those reads were done, go back over to your friend Management Studio and take a closer look at those two queries. The table where all the reads are coming from, is it in the first query or the second query? That's kind of peculiar. So let's look a little deeper at that execution plan. Remember how I said, when I look at execution plans, I look at the driver table, the table at the top right. This is the first thing that SQL Server did in that query. Look at the number of estimated rows and the number of actual rows. In this case, estimated number of rows is about 77 million, and actual number of rows is about 77 million. I know it's hard to compare those because Microsoft took the data shotgun and just shot it at the screen so the rows are scattered all over the place and not next to each other. You learn this as you work through Management Studio. I'm happy with that driver table. The estimates and actuals are pretty close. Now let's try in the second query, the one that costs less than a query cent. Let's look at its driver table. Hover your mouse over that and look at the number of estimated rows versus the number of actual rows. Table variables have a problem. Table variables have lots of problems. People hear the name and think it must be only in memory. It must not go to disk. It must be faster. All of those things are false. But the thing that's really a problem with table variables is that SQL Server is going to estimate that one row will come out, even though if I go right back up here to this table insert, when we dumped all this data into this table variable, SQL Server knew good and well how many rows were in that table variable at the time. But then SQL Server made a bad decision like a microsecond later because it assumed that table variables only have one row. When I'm doing this in smaller class sizes, when people aren't chicken to ask questions, so usually someone's hand will go up and say, "Are you saying table variables are bad and that we shouldn't use them?" Yes, it's exactly what I'm saying. These things are horrible. There's a lot of features that Microsoft will put into the box because customers ask for them and because Oracle has them. You want a table variable, you got a table variable, but that doesn't mean it performs. And in fact, if I want to make my code perform, I'm going to switch back over to my other window here, the one where I've already pre-written this exact same query, to go hit a temp table instead, and then I'm going to go execute it. Now, this isn't going to suddenly finish, because believe me, Sam's query sucks for a whole bunch of different reasons. We all write bad queries, especially me. But here's the difference that I've made in that query. All I've done is switch it over to a temp table. That's been the only change that I make so far. This is actually the first thing that I'll do when anyone brings me a query that has a table variable in it. I'm going to start by just switching it out for a temp table and see what the difference is. Before, I was running at about 19 minutes. And before, when I looked at this, let me hop back over to the original. In the original, if I look at the results, that insert, remember, cost 941 query bucks. The select cost 2 query cents. So in all, we're talking about a cost, an estimated cost, of about 950. Now, my other query has finished. We've already gone from 19 minutes and 33 seconds down to just 44 seconds with only one change. But wait, there's more. Let's go look at messages. Let's go see how many reads we did. I'm going to copy all of this out. Then I'm going to go Alt-Tab over to Chrome. So I was doing about 15.5 million logical reads before. Now, I'm down to 676,000. I've dropped off about 15 million reads. And look where the reads came from. SQL Server made a bad decision last time with the post table, and now it's making a brilliant decision with the post table. It went from doing 15 million reads down to about 5,000 on the post table. As we say in technical terms, booyah, that is fantastic. Now, I might be okay with that here. If Sam had said, if this can just run under a minute, I'll owe you a bottle of bourbon or whatever, I might stop there and go on to other stuff. But I could actually do much better than this. I'm going to switch back over and look at this guy again. So here's my query plan now. And even before I go in and look at all the estimates and actuals, I'm going to go down here and look at my query cost. Now, when I hover my mouse over the insert for a temp table, the cost has gone down. That doesn't really mean anything, though. This is a magical made-up number called query bucks, and I can't really pat myself on the back for that. It is down to 682, but let me ask you about the second query. Before, it had a query cost of 2 query cents. Now, I'm up to 365 query bucks. Did this query get better or worse? It's more predictable. It's more accurate. That other query plan looked cheaper before for the second query. It was wrong. It was simply completely wrong. And now this thing is more accurate because if I hover my mouse over that table scan, now you can look at the estimated number of rows versus actual. I'm still not going to give SQL Server a gold star for this. I'm still not going to print this out and hang it on the refrigerator to tell it what a good job it did at school today. But it's way better than estimating one row and then coming back with millions. At least we've made better decisions here. You'll also notice that my query plans may have looked different down here with things like yellow bangs. Sometimes I'll have a yellow bang on one execution plan and not the other. Now at home, when I have my big giant monitors, I may hang these execution plans side by side and compare them. There's an easier way now in Management Studio. With newer versions of Management Studio, they keep giving us all kinds of cool tricks. Woohoo is right. Was Pedro in here? Was he the reason who said woohoo? No. Oh, I thought Pedro would have said woohoo. So I get a new option down in here, not properties. There are so many cool things I get these days. But I can right-click in here and say, compare show plan. When I click on this, it's going to ask me, what execution plan do you want to compare it to? So I had to have saved the other query plan as a file already. I can't compare between two different windows. But I'm going to say, all right, compare to the original query plan that I had a second ago. And now I get this big fancy window. This looks way better on big monitors like you might have at home. But here you can start to click your mouse on different parts of different plans. Like say I want to compare this table scan of the temp table versus the table scan of the table variable. Now I can look at all kinds of things over on this right-hand window to see what's different about those two operators, like if I want to click on the select. This is by no means perfect. It's still kind of buggy, as you can see with me clicking around. It doesn't always reflect exactly the operators that I want, but it can start to show you what the differences are between two plans, like how many rows are estimated by one plan and how many rows are estimated by another plan. For right now, I'm still more of a fan of putting these two things up on a big monitor, but I don't need to look at the old query in order to know that it sucked. Now, I want to take another fresh look at the query that he gave me. Sam gave me this query, and after I've ripped out the obvious problem with a temp table, now I'm going to look at, what else are you doing? How else might I consider writing this differently? Now, when you go through and get the demo scripts, you'll notice that I have a bunch of them against a bunch of different Stack Overflow databases. And the more you can start to look at a T-SQL statement and guess what people are thinking, the more effective you can be as a performance tuner. For example, if I look at this thing and I say, well, he's doing a select top 100 from the post table, and he's got this where upvotes, and this isn't working worth a rip. It's better with my hand. Where number of downvotes and upvotes is somehow related, well, where does that come from? That's actually calculated up in the top query. Why don't I do that filtering up in the top? If I have some logic about half the number of downvotes as it has upvotes, do that in the beginning so that you're not dumping as much crap into the temp table. So I might scroll down and have a version of that already pre-baked, and this is the kind of logic that I think through. I'm going to take Sam's exact table, make sure I select all of it, because we've all been there where we didn't highlight the one line in the query that mattered, execute. So all I've done here is I've moved that up and down vote stuff up into a having clause so that I'm not dumping so much data into TempDB. Every time I play with Sam's query, I'm going to track the number of estimated versus actual. I'm also going to track the number of logical reads that I did. I am not a fan of monitoring queries by clock time because it's so unpredictable, especially after a few passes, where who really knows the difference between 4.3 seconds and 4.8 seconds? It can vary based on your server's loads. Logical reads, though, is pretty doggone repeatable. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take the number of logical reads, copy them out. I'm going to go paste. It does run in 43 seconds, golf clap. So I'm going to go look back. I was doing 676,000 logical reads. Now, paste, we're doing 665. So in America, we call football, which isn't really as cool as soccer. You know, you guys have the real football. We have a bunch of guys in pads who run for like 7 seconds, and then they take a 5-minute break. It's American football. So we call American football a game of inches. I don't know why we're still using that crappy measuring system either. We're not smart enough to deal with the metric system. The idea here is that every play, you just try to get forward a little bit, and that's kind of what query tuning is. I'm trying to just make this thing a little bit better pass by pass as I go through it. And then I'm going to look back over at the query and go, all right, what do I think I should do now? Some folks are allergic to temp tables. Some folks don't want to use temp tables at all. And if I wanted to get rid of the temp table here, what technique could I use to get away from it? CTE, a common table expression. Although I don't know why they call them common, because they're not really common at all. I kind of think they're like creative table expressions. So this is the same kind of thing done with a CTE. Sometimes a temp table is better. Sometimes a CTE is better. People often ask me, which should I use and which is always faster? It's never always faster. There's always all kinds of differences in SQL Server, except for table variables. Those things are the antichrist. So I'm going to take a CTE and see what kind of difference that makes here. Here I'm telling SQL Server, if you want to put it in the database, you can. You don't have to. Or you can just try to figure out which parts of this data you should keep and which parts of this data you should throw away. Now, we were at about 43 seconds by so far. It's going to take another, say, 15 or 20 seconds. In the meantime, a question so far? Yes. Does it matter if we use create table with a temp table or select into? Starting with, I want to say, SQL 2012, there was a service pack where you got performance boosts if you did select into. To learn more about that, go to our site, go to brentozar.com, and search for TempDB 2012 enhancement. And that'll tell you a blog post that shows where select into is actually faster, multi-threaded, that kind of thing. So now, I'm going to go back and look. Oh, how many seconds did this thing take? So it took 37 seconds, game of inches. And now when I look at my messages, now I only have one list in here because I'm down to just one query. I can copy all this out. Then I can switch back over here to statistics parser. Oh, I was at 665 before. Clear results, paste. Parse, go down to the bottom, game of inches. I've dropped it by about another 10%. So in this case, I'm probably going to keep the CTE. So let's go back and look at that CTE again. Let's start looking at the execution plan. Now, I've got, as I look across the top with the CTE, I'm kind of happy with the way that it's written. Let's go down and look at the plan and just see what's going on. Man, I love starting with recent versions of Management Studio. You get these beautiful yellow bangs on different operators in the plan, particularly sorts and hash matches, where SQL Server goes, I didn't have enough RAM in order to do this all in memory, and I had to scribble it to disk. Let me hover my mouse over that to show you what I mean. In that hash match, look down at the bottom and it says, I'm sorry, I had to go use TempDB, what I call SQL Server's public toilet, because I didn't estimate how much memory I would actually need correctly, or I actually estimated it right, but I didn't have enough RAM. I wrote 166,000 pages to disk. That's what we call a lot. Now, people will ask, what's the difference between TempDB level spill, level 2, 4, whatever? Any writes to disk suck because your TempDB is usually dog slow compared to the speed of memory. This hash match operator, let's do the same driver table thing that we've done all along. Let's hover our mouse over the driver table and look at estimated versus actual. Estimated number of rows versus actual number of rows. And in this case, SQL Server did pretty good. Estimated number of rows, 77 million. Actual number of rows, 77 million. Now I'm going to start moving through, and I can hover my mouse over each little arrow in the plan, and I can see whether or not my game is still on. I don't know why they don't put estimated and actual right after a compute scalar. They also don't put it on the compute scalar, but I gotta take what I can get. Microsoft is not that nice to me. They're pretty nice, just not that nice. Now, I think we found the problem. SQL Server estimated that 20 or 2.3 million rows were going to come out of this operator, and in actuality, 61 million rows came out of that operator. That's a pretty big difference. What is this operator doing? Well, it's taking the stuff from my prior table, the votes table, and it's grouping my votes together by post. In Stack Overflow, when you upvote or downvote a question is called a post in the Stack Overflow database every time you leave a question or an answer. So because this table doesn't have an index on post ID, SQL Server has to sort all this frickin' data every single time the query runs. And because there's no index or statistic, SQL Server has no idea how many different posts are in this table. It's like if you went to the phone book, that thing your grandpa kept on top of the refrigerator so he could call his friends who'd passed away in the war. At least that's how my dad would use it. Oh, he is still dead. I forgot about that. This is why my family doesn't watch the recordings, so it's okay for me to say things like this. If I gave you the white pages of the phone book and I said, find me the number of Brents that are in the phone book, you would have no idea how many people's first names are Brent. The index isn't sorted in that order. If I sorted the data in that order, SQL Server would do something completely differently. A, I might remove the sorting problem, and B, I might know how many rows are going to match my queries. Now, normally, SQL Server's kind enough to give me an index recommendation. SQL Server has that missing index recommendation there in red, and you might be tempted to apply that as is. But what fields is my missing index recommendation on? And now, what fields am I sorting the data on? They're not the same. SQL Server wants an index on vote type ID, but it's actually sorting the data by post ID. Hey, SQL Server, if you're going to sort the data by post ID, would you like your index in that order?
No, man, I'm good. If you could just slap it in the index in any order, it doesn't really matter.
This is why I always use a guy's voice for SQL Server. He's dumb, he doesn't ask for directions, he's stubborn, he insists he knows which way he's going. Now, if you read books online carefully, you'll notice that it says in a big disclaimer for missing index hints, we are not giving you these fields in order. We are only giving you a list of fields to think about indexing. What I really need here in terms of an index is not an index on vote type ID and post ID. If I'm sorting the data by post ID, I need an index by post ID. I need those fields flipped, or I need post ID in the index itself. When you see a missing index recommendation, I'm going to right-click on it, and I'm going to click Missing Index Details, and it launches up here in a new window. I need you to remember two things. One is that you don't just highlight this and click Execute, because when I come and see your databases, you look like a moron when it says name of missing index in the name of half of your missing indexes. The other thing to know is that you really want to put a little bit of thought into the order that these things go in. Maybe I want to put post type ID second, or maybe I want to put it first. If I had the luxury of a really long performance tuning class here, I would try them both and see which one is faster. This is also why I'm a big believer in giving developers solid state machines for their dev boxes. I want you to try as many different indexes as you can to make your queries go faster. If I give you a really slow, crappy DBA box or a development edition box, sometimes DBAs will say,
I'm going to give you a really crappy development box because that way you'll learn to make your queries go faster.
No, you'll just learn that performance tuning sucks and you'll never try to create an index because ain't nobody got time for that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go create the index. When I'm doing performance tuning, I will actually put in the name of my index, I'm going to put my initials and the fields that it's on. Because when I'm doing rapid fire performance tuning, I may create a whole bunch of indexes. And when I'm done, I'm going to go through and drop all the ones that aren't getting used. I'm even going to drop the ones that are getting used. And I'm going to go back and script them the right way with normal generic index names and check them into source control. But I'm going to put my initials in there because in case someone else finds my indexes, I want them to know that they were only temporary and they were safe to drop. I'll also sometimes have to tune in production, in which case I'll use someone else's initials instead of mine. Ideally, like Greg Lowe, I might use Greg's initials instead of my own, which is also my middle initial too as well, BGO. That's where that comes from. That's also why I don't just use my first and last initial. Because in America, when you say BO, everyone immediately thinks body odor, and I'm not such a fan of that. So I'm going to go create that index, and it's going to take a couple of minutes in order to execute. Now, when that index finishes executing, I'm going to notice a couple of different things about my plan. When it starts to look at whether the number of estimates versus actuals are right, I may not see these yellow bangs where we're sorting things after all. Because look at the two things that we're sorting on. This first one said,
I'd like to sort everything by post ID. Oh, I ran out of RAM and I'm going to have to spill the disk.
Look at the second operation.
I need to sort everything by post ID, and I'm going to write it all to disk again.
I kind of think of this as like a data tsunami. When this stuff starts coming through the execution plans, if I look at what's coming out of this hash match, I think only 2.3 million rows are going to come back. SQL Server hasn't hit puberty yet in this particular part. So SQL Server doesn't think hardly any rows are going to come back. All of a sudden, a ton of data comes back. There's this tsunami of data coming through, and every operator along the way is totally unprepared. If you sat in Pedro's session in the last session in here, he'll tell you that SQL Server's starting to do adaptive memory grants starting in 2017, where some of these will start sending notifications along the way to say, heads up, you have a lot of data coming through. Well, that's what you think is going to happen. What in actuality happens is it's just like this. The data tsunami still hits, but subsequent versions of the query will start to get higher and higher memory grants. So my index tuning is done. My index creation is done. I'm going to take the exact same CTE and run this guy again. We were at 37 seconds, and we'll compare our logical reads back and forth here with this as well. Do, 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 do. Oh, any questions as this thing runs? No, you're all excited. I should make you do like a drum roll, but then the other attendees in other places would be like, what's going on inside there? Cut it in half again. So now we're down to 18 seconds. Just for yucks, I'm going to go look at my friend statistics, copy those out, go over to statistics parser. We were at 612,000 logical reads. Let's clear this out, paste it again, and parse. Now I'm down to 241,000 logical reads. Remember, we started this hour with 15 million. I'm happy with that. We're making good progress. Now if I go over to the execution plan, I still have a couple of yellow bangs here. If I start to look at the data tsunami, estimated number of rows and actual number of rows, when I created this index, I put vote type ID first because that's what SQL Server asked for. So it does less work, but it still has crappy stats and it still experiences this data tsunami. It's writing less pages to disk, we were at 165,000 before, now we're down to like 75,000. I'm going to go take that index and flip it. I'm going to put post ID first, and then here, post ID, and then execute. Oh, how long did this thing take to run last time? Minute 26, perfect. So I'm going to let it run, and while it runs, I'm going to come back over to the CTE. Now, if I look at how much data I'm pulling out of the votes table here, there's 77 million votes. Aggregating 77 million votes is going to suck. It's always going to suck. I'm going to make it a little bit better by doing index tuning here, but it's never going to be a sub-second report. This is where I might start to present SAM options of, what if for these most controversial questions, I give you a table where I just run this query once a day and I dump the data into it. After all, it's not like this is changing on an hour-by-hour basis. Another trick that I can use is called an indexed view, where I pre-aggregate that data for SAM. So my index creation finished, and now I'm going to execute this guy again. We were at about 18 seconds. Let's see what we get here in terms of time. Where's my Marta? Where's Marta in here? She hasn't been. Yes, yes, perfect. Woohoo! All right. There it is. So 22 seconds. It actually got worse. But I don't have the yellow bangs. I didn't spill to disk. Now, if I look at how many reads I did, copy these out, and I don't even need to run a calculator on that, I can see that I'm at about 222,000. This is exactly how this index processing or the index tuning and query tuning processing works. This is how I'm going to end up giving Sam his answers. You have three options here, Sam, at the end of my hour, let's say. First, if you simply rip out your table variable and replace it with a temp table, I can drop logical reads by, say, 90%, and the query goes from 19 minutes down to, say, 5 minutes or a minute 44. If that's not enough for you, I can rewrite it and put it in a CTE, or I can add specific indexes. And then if I want it to go really fast, if you step through the entire demo script, I even show you how you can create indexed views and indexes on top of those. My goal is to give Sam a few different options on how he can rewrite that query. But the way that I'm going to spend my hour doing query performance tuning is by walking through that exact be creepy process. Jumping back over to this guy. So the first thing that I'm going to do when I'm touching somebody's stranger, that sounded really bad, let me re-say that. The first time that I'm going to tune a SQL server that I haven't played around with before, the first thing that I'm going to go do is run SPBlitz and SPBlitz index, just to do a quick health check across it and make sure it's okay. Second, when Sam gives me the query, I'm going to say, how long would you like me to spend working on it? An hour, a day, or a week? Because as you even saw in here, it can take a good hour to unpack what that query's doing and try a few different experiments on it. I'm going to capture the query's metrics by running the query's actual execution plan, because the estimated one is a filthy liar. Then I'm going to read the plan to figure out whether I'm working on reads, CPU time, and start experimenting with how that query works. Everything that I talked about here today is all available at brentozar.com/go/tunequeries, plus half a dozen other queries that you can play around with, and videos of me doing this at different conferences with different queries. I will stick around down here in order to do Q&A, but I'm going to evacuate this so that the next presenter can come set up. Thanks, everybody, for hanging out with me during this hour, and I will see you today and tomorrow and at the attendee party tonight. Thanks, everybody.